We're going to continue with this Noah's Ark story with a different view. And also, for the first time on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about a specific search for the Ark of the Covenant. We'll be back with both of these stories in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Richard Reeves, president of the Wyatt Archaeological Research, became aware of the discoveries of Ron Wyatt in 1990. Richard read Ron's book, discovered Noah's Ark, and made arrangements to visit him. After seeing the actual evidence and expressing his intention to visit the sites, Richard was invited to participate in excavations at the Noah's Ark site. In 1990, Richard and Ron traveled to eastern Turkey, where the two of them accomplished what is now known as the Noah's Ark mini excavation. After finishing their work at the Noah's Ark site, they traveled on to Israel. Richard has worked closely with Ron Wyatt at various archaeological sites in Turkey, Israel, the Middle East, and Egypt, and has been involved with the technical analysis of the artifacts collected in 1997. Richard moved to Tennessee and became curator of the Wyatt Archaeological Museum, and in 1999, Ron Wyatt passed away, and Richard was then elected to the office of president. Since that time, he's been responsible for the coordination of the ongoing research and dissemination of information leading to his discoveries and their discoveries. We're also going to give you an update on the search for the Ark of the Covenant as well. Richard, how are you, and welcome back?
Doing well, and it's a privilege to be with you.
Lots to talk about in the short time we've got you, but give me, first of all, your impressions of this digital picture that we've been talking about all day today. And then, of course, let's talk about the research of Ron Wyatt as well in that site. But your reaction to today's situation.
Well, today was the first that I heard about it. I received an email earlier today with a picture there. And basically, I think it's up on top of Mount Ararat near the Uhura Gorge. I know a lot of people have looked in the Uhura Gorge area and other parts of Mount Ararat. It's my understanding that what we're looking at there in that anomaly is about 1,000 feet long. And, the Bible says that Noah's Ark is 300 cubits in length. And we do know which cubit was used. There's an inscription that was found in Jerusalem that told the length of Hezekiah's tunnel under Jerusalem. It's known as the Siloam inscription. And so you can measure that underground tunnel, compare it to the inscription, and figure out that the Hebrew cubit was about 17.5 inches in length. I've measured the Great Pyramid over in Egypt. It measures out in the royal Egyptian cubit. I've also measured King Solomon's gates at Hazor, Gezer, and Megiddo in Israel. They measure out exactly in this royal Egyptian cubit. And then we've measured some 6th and 7th century B.C. tombs above the Damascus Gate in Jerusalem. They measure out exactly in a royal Egyptian cubit. So we know that the Old Testament cubit was the 20.6-inch cubit, which would not fit in a 1,000-foot anomaly.
Now tell me, in the book of Genesis, where does it say Noah's Ark landed?
It says it landed in the mountains of Ararat, mountains plural. And if you go back to the Hebrew text, it actually says the mountains of Urartu, which is that whole mountainous region over in eastern Turkey. So to be biblically accurate, it just has to be somewhere in that mountain range there.
Ron Wyatt always believed that he discovered the Noah's Ark site. We've heard from a number of people who say that this is merely a stone structure. Ron Wyatt always believed, no, it is not. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would, Richard.
Well, what we find about 10 or 12 miles south of Mount Ararat, in the mountains of Urartu, or the mountains of Ararat, is a boat-shaped anomaly. And we also have the Quick Bird satellite images from that site. And, of course, this is a site you can actually go to and look at and measure and see for yourself. But it works out exactly 300 royal Egyptian cubits. I've measured it myself, and it's just exactly the proportions as described in the Bible. It's shaped like a boat, and the material there is fossilized. We know that because it has organic carbon in it, and that means that the material was once living matter. And so what we have there is a boat-shaped object. The exact dimensions are specified in the Bible with, you know, fossilized material all over it. There are metal artifacts there that have what we would call modern-day alloys. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 4, it talks about a man named Tubal-Cain. It says he was an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. So Tubal-Cain was working with alloys several generations before Noah. So we really shouldn't be surprised to find that Noah knew all about metals.
Is this site here that some believe to be the Noah's Ark site, the one you're talking about, also, could that have been raided over the years by people in that area?
I guess it's possible. It's 515 feet long, so it's a tremendous big structure there. And I guess that could have happened, but it seems that what happened as it decayed, the sides fell out and the top caved in on it. We believe it was buried for, you know, thousands of years in a mud flow there. As best we know, it became visible, you know, maybe, you know, 60 years ago or something like that. But before that, it was buried. You know, it looks like a boat, you know.
Has anybody been back to that specific site in a while?
Ron and I were over there in 1990, and we were taken hostage over there and ended up climbing mountains at the end of a gun for about a month.
God.
And since then, I haven't been able to get permits. I was back over there last year meeting with the Turkish government, and it looked like we were going to get a permit to do what we needed to do. And then some of the officials in the government changed, and then we were right back to square one. But basically, there is some more work that needs to be done to confirm the site. We believe we know where some subsurface structure is that would show symmetry. In other words, piece after piece after piece that would measure out in the same dimensions. And we have three-dimensional subsurface radar now, as well as three-dimensional resistivity equipment. So what we've been trying to do is just get permission to pull our equipment across the surface and make three-dimensional images of what's underground. And believe it or not, we just absolutely have not been able to get permission to do that.
It would be nice, too, to get some new satellite imagery of this location. Is that possible?
Well, actually, we have the Quick Bird satellite imagery. It's, we have the, you know, highest resolution imagery, just the same as the other people at the other site. We have the exact same imagery. So, it's...
How does it look from space?
Well, it's exactly the shape of a boat. It's pointed on the front and rounded on the back.
Okay, now, in terms of whether yours is the accurate spot or this new site we've been talking about is the accurate spot, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, Richard, I would just hope one of them would be the accurate spot, because I would love for the Ark to be found, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, sir. You know, I'm a Bible believer, and it says without faith it's impossible to please our Creator. And so we don't have to actually see Noah's Ark to believe that there really was one.
I understand that, but it sure would make a lot of doubting Thomases believe it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit, too, if we can, about the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, you've been doing a lot of research as the president of the Wyatt Archaeological Research Institute. What's the latest with that? Because I know Ron, during his days, was actively looking for the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, we've been working in Jerusalem for the past 3 years trying to document, you know, some of Ron's claims. Ron claimed to have located the Ark of the Covenant buried underground near the Calvary Escarpment in Jerusalem. And this last summer we had 60 people working there, and we reopened his excavations. And we're down about 30 feet, and what we found down there are Roman buildings, and artifacts are coming out that are what the archaeologists know as Iron Age artifacts, which means they would come from King Solomon's time, King David's time.
Sure.
And we also located a cistern down there. And this summer we're supposed to excavate it all the way down from the top in a traditional excavation. Up until this point, we've been squeezing around through, you know, a cave system down there. And it's just hard to, you know, see exactly what we've got without opening it up.
Now, did Ron think that he found the Ark of the Covenant there, or that he thought it might have been there?
Ron claimed to have located the Ark of the Covenant. Now, once again, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. Ron Wyatt was not able to prove that he found the Ark of the Covenant. What I can tell you for sure is that he believed he did.
Did he see it?
That's what he said, yes, sir.
How did he describe it, Richard?
Well, he says that it had cherubs on both sides and that they were actually standing on the ground, that the Ark of the Covenant is actually made of two pieces, the Ark or the container for the covenant or the Ten Commandments, and then the mercy seat, which was actually the throne of God that would sit down on top of that container. And we have some pictures of that on our website, if we can tell people about the website.
Sure.
It's WyattMuseum.com, www.WyattMuseum.com, and they can follow the links there, and they can see exactly what Ron did, you know, said it looked like. He had an artist draw it.
Now, was he excavating by himself when he stumbled across this, apparently?
No, sir. He had people helping him, and he worked for about 3.5 years. Now, there are absolutely no records with the Antiquities Department over there that he ever worked there, but everybody knows that he did. And so now what we're going back and doing is documenting what can be documented. So we had 60 people working, and we reopened it this last summer.
Okay, but what are the possibilities over all these years somebody else has gone down in that region and maybe has taken it?
Well, you know, I guess that's possible. We are down about 30 feet, and Ron said that the chamber that he found the Ark of the Covenant in was about 20 feet below that, and it's in, you know, limestone or, you know, bedrock down there.
So everything he explained, you're at least verifying as you go along in terms of the locale, what it looked like, things you're coming across, he came across as well?
That's right. We've relocated the things he talked about. Now, we are finding some discrepancies in what he said. And we've produced a new DVD that talks about that and actually shows what we're finding, what he said, and the problems we're having.
How would you explain the discrepancies?
Well, I can't explain them at this point. Ron described what he believed to be a crucifixion site and a crevice that communicated with the chamber that the Ark of the Covenant was located in.
Okay.
We've been able to find that site that he described as a crucifixion site, but we have not been able to locate the crack or crevice that he described.
Might it have been sealed up?
Well, it's possible. But like I say, this summer we'll be taking it all the way down from the top, and then once we get down there, we'll be able to investigate a whole lot easier. Right now, it's pretty dangerous down there. We're working in a cave system that had collapsed.
Oh, my.
When we got down there, the whole ceiling had collapsed in on that excavation, and we had to remove, you know, tons and tons of debris. And so, it's just impossible to do much down there. You just can't disturb it too much, or you might get caved in on.
Who has to give you the permission to go down there?
Well, we're working with the Israel Antiquities Authority. They oversee the project, and so we have an archaeologist with us there at all times. And so it's an Israel Antiquities Authority project.
Richard, is anybody guarding that area right now?
Well, it's all sealed back up. When we left there, we completely sealed it back up, and it's a situation where it would take, you know, a day or two to reopen that. It has some large stones on top of the entrance, and of course we sealed it and locked it with padlocks and things like that. So
now, when you're saying though that you found Roman buildings, first century Roman buildings, I mean, I'm trying to picture what this looks like. Were they like underground cities or just structures?
Well, just structures, but we have done subsurface radar scans all over that whole area, all the way from Damascus Gate, all the way back over to the Calvary Escarpment, or the other side of the dry moat there. We've done radar scans, resistivity scans, we've done exploratory drilling, core drilling such as that, and we do see extensive structures down there, in other words, more than what we can see in that cave system. We're really squeezing around down there, and so all we can see now are the walls of those buildings. We have been in several different rooms down there, but once again, it's just, you know, barely squeezing in.
And when you say this system is beneath the Calvary escarpment. You're talking about the area where Jesus was crucified, right?
That's right. The place of the skull, near the place of the skull. Yes, sir.
So underneath, they then built this facility. Maybe it was already there. Maybe the crucifixion took place above this area, and these structures that you're talking about that you're finding, maybe they were or were not there at the time. What do you think?
Well, we believe they are first century. You know, it's no way to be sure until we can get a better look. But the, you know, all the artifacts and indications are that it is a first century Roman structures down there. We found a curved wall, and it was 6 feet thick, and we excavated through that wall, and we broke into a cistern, a plastered cistern, down underground. So evidently it was an area that held water or some type of material that, you know, needed to be sealed up. But it's just no telling how extensive the city is down there. And the interesting thing from an archaeological standpoint is nobody realized that during that time period, the city of Jerusalem was that far north. So the, you know, antiquities people are very excited about what we've found and are looking forward to the work this summer.
What is preventing them, Richard, from going ahead and doing their own excavation as opposed to waiting for you and your organization?
Well, I guess they could do that. We've been working for several years, and we've got the equipment to do the job. And, you know, we haven't been able to talk about it for the past few years. So, you know, while a lot of people have been out there talking about things, we've been working and working and working and hadn't been able to say anything. So we have an excellent working relationship with them, and I think they appreciate, you know, what we can do.
I got to tell you, this discovery would be as equally exciting as finding Noah's Ark.
Well, I think it's important. You know, it's a legitimate archaeological project, and we've been, you know, working at it for several years now.
So the next project, we've got to get you to look for the Hall of Records at the base of the Sphinx.
Well, I tell you, I think we got our work cut out for us right where we are. I would like to work in Turkey. If I know you have a lot of people listening, if anybody has any connections in Turkey and they can get us some permits, a few days' work would really do a lot at the site we're interested in.
Would you go back to that old site, or possibly would you go to this new one we've been talking about and maybe try to check that out as well?
I'd like to go back to the old site. You know, there's a lot of work we need to do there with the radar. I wouldn't mind going to the other site. It's up to 14,000 feet, but, you know, if we could get up there, I wouldn't mind doing that either. But, you know, I just want to know the truth, whatever it is, whether I like it or not.
I understand. So you're not 100% certain that the original Noah's Ark site is indeed one, right?
We need to do more work there.
Okay. Richard, how would you like to take some phone calls when we come back?
That'd be great.
We'll do that. In terms of going back to look for the Ark of the Covenant, is it a very costly procedure?
Well, yes, sir. It really is for us. We're a very small research organization, and, you know, most of our income comes from the sale of our little video presentations and things like that, but it is very expensive for us because of the equipment we have to use, and then, you know, it just costs a lot of money to go over there.
Can't you get, like, the Discovery Cable Network to finance this for you?
Well, we have had some interest in some of the, documentary people that are interested in what we're doing now, so, you know, maybe so.
Yeah, I think that would help you a lot. You'd get the funding to do what you need, maybe even bring some more equipment down that way, and I mean, that would be exciting. Whether you find it or not, who knows, but just the fact that you would attempt to. Vendel Jones has been trying to look for it as well. Is he working with you, or is he with a different group?
I think he's with a different group. I know who you're talking about, but I never have met Mr. Jones.
Okay, well, stay with us. With our guest tonight, Richard Reeves, we'll take your phone calls about the Ark of the Covenant, Noah's Ark, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, open lines. I'll be back. Well, it's time to say hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, Streamlink members, the various chat rooms, of course, the Coast Riders, part of Streamlink, XM Satellite, the NighthawkZone.com folks, Fantastic Forum Pirates, Imaginative Worlds people, hello to all of you, Sorcery IRC, National Radio Club, And also, hello to you in Australia. I've been getting emails from people in Australia. Apparently, there are a couple fan groups that have just set themselves up, and they're starting to listen to us in Sydney and Melbourne and all over Australia. So that's kind of fascinating as well. In the last hour tonight, we're going to take some of you, not all of you, but some of you up to the 22nd century in some kind of a time warp where you get to hear the reincarnated Dexter Monterey, who's a talk show host. It's supposed to be me in the future, and I'll explain all that a little bit later on. But apparently Dexter says that the Streamlink members number close to 12,000 in the 22nd century, and the NighthawkZone.com folks have about 5 million members chatting. Could you imagine trying to chat with 5 million people on board? Incredible. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with our special guest this hour, Richard Reeves. And then next hour, by the way, will just be pure open lines, me. And by the way, the show continues, even though some of you will be listening to Dexter in the last hour. I'll explain that, too. Don't go away. Richard Reeves, our guest. Richard, before we go to the many callers lined up to chat with you, the story of Moses parting the Red Sea, you've done some work in that arena as well. Why don't you give us an update there?
Well, when Moses fled to Midian after killing an Egyptian, he went over there and married Jethro's daughter, became a Midianite shepherd. And that's where he came on the burning bush at Mount Sinai. And so Ron Wright retraced his route over there. And at the time of the Exodus, Moses was supposed to bring the people back to that mountain. But at one point, if you read in the biblical account, they were told to turn back and encamp by the sea. And when they did, they entered into a canyon or Wadi Watir, that leads out onto a big beach at present-day Nuweiba, Egypt. And right at that spot, there's a natural land bridge, an underwater land bridge, that leads across to ancient Midian or present-day Saudi Arabia. And Ron found artifacts in the Red Sea there. A chariot wheel hub was presented to the director of antiquities in Egypt, who identified it as an 18th dynasty chariot wheel hub. And so when Ron knew where the crossing took place, he went on over into present-day Saudi Arabia and found the real Mount Sinai. It's on the map over there today as Jebel Musa, the Mountain of Moses, or Mount Sinai. So it's over there just exactly with all the details described in the Bible. The rocket Horeb is there. It's a 60-foot-tall boulder split down through the middle, and vast amounts of water just poured out of that rock. You can see where it washed channels out in the desert out there. And so everything described in the Bible having to do with the Mount Sinai is still right there today.
Haven't they found a chariot or two in the Red Sea as well, as if they were trying to cross it, and there they were?
Well, Ron believed he found some chariot wheels, but as far as complete chariots, there are many people that since Ron passed away that are kind of embellishing the story. And what they're doing is going out there and finding pieces of coral and pronouncing them to be various artifacts.
I see.
That's a real problem for us. But Ron did find some legitimate artifacts in the Red Sea there.
To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yes, my name is Harold, and I'm a missionary. And about 58 years ago, a gentleman came to the Wilshire Ward, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to teach us children. And he brought two pieces of wood with him. And he says that he was held prisoner in China, and he had no fingernails or toenails because the Chinese had put bamboo under him and burned him trying to get him to denounce Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't do it. And the warden that did this to him, after the years passed by, came to Jesus and helped him escape through the mountains of Ararat. And he says as he was coming through the mountains, he saw a big ship, and two-thirds of it was in a glacier, and about a third of it was laying at the bottom. So he went to the bottom and got these two boards. And so if you guys might want to check with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Wilshire Ward, and maybe they might have part of Noah's Ark, because I held it in my hand.
All right, Richard, have you heard this story before?
No, sir, I haven't. But, you know, we'll check it
another,
out.
Another lead to follow up. Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate you being part of the program. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Yes, hey, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I just woke up. I was turned my radio on and heard you guys talking, and it's so interesting. I had to jump out of bed and run to the telephone.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Brother Reeves there if he had found any type of actual, when he did the scan across the actual boat that he'd found, that was the impression of the boat, if he found any artifacts that might be buried underneath it that may have somehow over the ages, you know, kind of sunk down. And also, there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. Carl Ball at the Creation Evidence Museum in Texas that had done actually a television program through one of the Christian channels. I'm not sure which one, right offhand. And he actually went to the site and actually showed you, it looked like a brown bottom, and it was very huge, and it was kind of in a slope, in a valley sort of thing. And it was pointed on one end, and on the backside, it did have that curvature. And he also showed a drawing where actually the top of the ark actually had the windows were on the top, with like a little top over it, and then the windows were on the side of the top, whereas a lot of the drawings were on, you know, show windows on the side of the ark. Just wondering if he knew Dr. Ball or if he found any artifacts, and if that sounds more like realistic design.
All right. All right. Did you come across him at all, Richard?
Yes, sir. I do know Dr. Ball.
Thank you.
And as far as the radar scans, Ron Wyatt did the radar scans many years ago. And, of course, he was using the best equipment available at that time. But now we have three-dimensional radar. So not only can we see what's down there, but we can make three-dimensional images of what's under the surface down to about 30 feet. If we need to go deeper, we have resistivity scanning equipment. And that's also three-dimensional. It'll go down to 90 feet. And so what we want to do, we know some specific areas we're interested in that we know has symmetry. In other words, parts and pieces you can measure between. They're covered with material now, or soil, or, debris. And so what we want to do is take the new equipment over there and simply pull it across the surface and see what's down there. It's a very simple procedure. We don't disturb anything. We could do the work in a day, but we absolutely have not been able to get permission to do that. It's just unbelievable that we can't pull a box across the ground.
What's interesting, too, Richard, is when science blends with some of these old stories, eventually the two meet and they help each other.
Well, that's right. You know, we're interested in all the information we can get. And the Bible says to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So that's what we try to do, is check things out and be objective about it, not exaggerate, and just report the facts. You know, today a lot of people want to tell you how to believe, and we don't do that. We just give you the evidence we have and let you make your own decision.
Let's go to our wildcard line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Bob in Seattle.
Okay, Bob, go ahead.
Extremely important and exciting topic. The Ark of the Covenant is 10 times more important than Noah's Ark, because the Jewish community cannot build a third temple without this, and they have descendants of the family of Levites waiting for the Ark of the Covenant, because inside is the ashes of the red heifer. This is absolutely the most important thing, in my opinion, in all of biblical exploration can be found, is the Ark of the Covenant, because the end times and all that stuff, this is like the pinnacle. The Jewish community, Dr. Jones, the Indiana Jones guy, him and his son, years ago found a tunnel that was marked by big boulders. The Bible talks about they hid something in like 24 boulders, or huge boulders, and they think that was down these huge tunnels, and they were in, and they said last year they were going to find it, right? And involved in a big Jewish celebration, and the guy said, no, it was too early. We haven't found it yet. So I don't know if your guests heard about that, but this is absolutely so exciting. I can't believe it.
Well, I share your views, Bob, from Seattle, that this is a major, major possible discovery. What's fascinating, Richard, number of groups, including yours, Wendell Jones, there are a couple others, that all seem to be keen in on specific areas where they think the Ark of the Covenant is. But again, the key story here is you know, regardless of who finds it and who may be the fortunate one to find it, it just sounds like somebody's getting very close to it. And I just think that's a great, great possibility.
Well, that's exactly right. And the Ark of the Covenant is very important because of the golden container, but because of what's inside of it, the Ten Commandments. And that's our Creator's rules and regulations for life. And so that's what's important about the Ark of the Covenant is the covenant. And I think that the actual discovery of it and being able to prove exactly where it is and actually show people what's written on those tables of stone would be a tremendous advantage.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm Joe from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay, Joe, take it away.
I'd just like to ask your guest. I didn't catch the original fellow that found the Ark or claims that he did. But my question is, why didn't he bring it up when he found it?
Well, it was Ron Wyatt. I worked with Ron the last 10 years of his life. He passed away in 1999. And he said that he was having to squeeze around through the cave system. We're doing the same thing now, and it's, you know, some of the areas are just barely big enough to squeeze through. And he said he just couldn't get it out, that it wasn't room to get it out. I don't have the answers for all that. But since Ron's passed away, I became president of Wyatt Archaeological Research. And so I'm not trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. What I'm trying to do is carefully document what Ron said and you know, the things that can be documented, we report that, and the things that we can't prove out, we report that too. We want to be totally objective and just report the facts.
Richard, explain this for me if you can. There's a retired geology professor from California State University. He was a one-time proponent of the Ron Wyatt site, and now he claims that it is merely a rock. Is there factions that people change their mind? Because I can't understand why they support it and then they change. What goes on here?
Well, you know, there have been people that at one time thought that it was Noah's Ark and then changed their mind, and they're certainly entitled to do that.
Sure.
I guess the biggest criticism or the biggest, the theory that the critics use to discredit the site, some people say that it's an obstruction in a mud flow. In other words, when mud or material flows around an object, it creates an aerodynamic shape, I guess we could say. But the point of the ship is uphill, and anytime you put an obstruction in a mud flow, it's always rounded uphill and comes to a point downhill. So this is just the exact opposite. You know, I've done a lot of analysis on the material that came out of there. The material has organic carbon. We know it used to be living. We've done microscopic analysis on plant and animal fibers that were found in the site. We actually found one fiber that had fiber optics characteristics. So there's a lot of indication that it is not a natural object, that it is a man-made object. We need to do more work, and if we can just do a little more work, I think we'll be to the point to where we can absolutely say, you know, what we've got there.
Well, you know the ramifications if it had fiber optic characteristics.
Well, there was a fiber that came out that is no doubt got fiber optics characteristics. It was picking up the light from the microscope and transmitting it right out of the end of the fiber. And I think that picture is on our website, wyattmuseum.com.
All right. So what are the possibilities? The Ark was something extraterrestrial, or is that too far-fetched?
Well, I couldn't answer that question. But it is the exact length and width and proportions as described in the Bible.
Next up, Wildcard Line. Yeah, that is fascinating. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Jeff from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Jeff.
My question to you, Richard, is I know you being a Bible believer, you're familiar with the Old Testament story of a guy by the name of Uzzah, U-Z-A, I think is how they spelled his name.
Right.
And he was helping David carry the Ark of the Covenant back into the city. And they were pulling, they're carrying it on an ox cart, which they shouldn't have been doing. They should have been carrying it by the rings, but the thing started falling. And Uzzah thought he was going to save the ark from desecration, and he grabbed it, and God killed him. So my question to you, Richard, is, are you going to touch it if you find it?
I don't know the answer to that. I think the first thing I want to do is pray a whole lot. And if you'll read Ezekiel chapters 8 through 10, at the time Uzzah touched it, the presence of God was dwelling on the mercy seat. Because of the abominations of Israel, the presence of God left the mercy seat. So it's a different situation now.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
So if you
another quick question. Can anybody go with you over to Israel and help you dig?
We do use volunteers, yes, sir. So if there are those people that would like to help us, we can use all the help we can get.
How long will you be out there, Richard?
Probably about 3 weeks this time.
All right. Generally, then, if somebody wants to volunteer but to bring some money along for their own well-being, I guess, what do you recommend? And where do you stay? Where do people sleep? What happens?
Well, the people that work with us, I pretty much require that everybody stays together. We have to, you know, we have to be careful about the way we handle ourselves.
Well, I understand.
And so everybody stays together, and we make all the arrangements, and then if people want to participate, it's kind of a package situation where the airfare and hotels and accommodations and transportation and everything's all included.
So okay.
We have to, you know, it just has to be like, I can't have people going and coming and doing their own thing. It just won't work like that.
Well, you know, and also not only is it structurally dangerous down there, it's also dangerous down there.
Well, it could be.
Yep.
We had to do a lot of shoring down there and removed a tremendous amount of material. This time we'll be taking it down 30 feet all the way from the top. So we have a tremendous amount of material to move and once again, a bunch of shoring to do this time.
Let's go to our final caller for the hour, west of the Rockies. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Yes, this is Gerald from San Diego.
All right, Gerald.
I have a quick question, and I'll listen to it off the air.
Sure thing.
I've always wondered, where did this large amount of water come from? And where did it go after it supposedly receded? And I'll listen to you off the air, okay?
Okay. And we really don't know if this was a worldwide flood, Richard, or if it was just restricted to the region. Nonetheless, good question. Where did it come from? Where did it go?
Well, there's a lot of theories about that, and I'm more into fact than theory. But some people believe that there was an ice canopy around the Earth at that time, and that something caused that canopy to collapse. And as the water came through the atmosphere, of course, it would melt, and that's where much of the water came from. It also says that in the Bible, it says that the windows of heaven were opened and also that the fountains of the great deep were broken up. And so that tells us that not only did water come from above, but it came up from within the earth. And it seems that they, you know, came from two different directions, from within the earth as well as from the sky. And, you know, we find sea fossils at about the 7,000-foot elevation all over the earth. So
that's true.
I personally believe that, you know, we probably had a depth of about 7,000 feet.
Very good. Richard, thanks for spending the hour with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Richard Reeves, the Wyatt Foundation. You know, also some people believe that the Ark of the Covenant is in Israel, in a small tent-type church being hidden away there. It's all fascinating. It really is, because if any of it's discovered, it tells you all about, you know, the old books, fallen angels, all that stuff. Maybe it's all true, right? Beyond what your own faith might be. Open lines with me and you when I come back on Coast to Coast AM.